Hello, welcome, and thanks for listening to Carbon Climates, an energy podcast dedicated to discussing all things energy, carbon, and sustainability. We also like to point out what's getting hot, aside from our planet. I'm your host, Enya, and today I'm joined by my Carbon Climate and co-host, Fabuti, who I will be introducing shortly. Before we get into today's topic, Fabuti, can you tell me, how's your week been? And just can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Hey, Enya. So, work-wise, the week has been pretty good. I have been introduced to a few new projects as well. So going all grand, all solid. And personally, like on the weekends, it was pretty chill. I kept it low-key and, you know, just stayed in, watched a few movies, catch up with a few of my friends. And of course, somebody's birthday was there on this weekend.
Yes, yes.
And I had fun.
I had fun as well.
Oh, I think a lot of people had fun. Definitely.
But I was paying for it the next.
Somebody's birthday bash.
Yeah, birthday bash. I was paying for it. I did nothing the next day.
Okay.
So we went out on the Saturday. And then the Sunday, I just absolutely chilled. And the Sunday was my birthday.
Of course. but the location was beautiful. And it was a good crack.
Yes, yes. It was different. Here, Peter's Wharf, if anyone is looking for a new place, go for a bit of food or some drinks on a nice Saturday or Sunday. It is a very sophisticated, lovely place. And we kind of walked in with...
Definitely. I can vouch for it. Plus one.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. Oh, brilliant. Well, could you tell us your job title?
So, Anna, right now I'm working as a sustainability engineer at Building Performance Prediction. And it's kind of my third month now in this role. I've been learning so much so far. And it's been a great experience.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
that's amazing. 3 months. I remember when you first started, it's flowed in.
I know. And it doesn't even feel like the 3 months have passed by. It was so quick. Mm-hmm. And still, like, you know, learning something new every day.
Here, I've been in this job for about, it's my sixth year.
Oh.
And I'm still learning something every day.
Wow. That much consistency is what I look for.
Well, how long have you been in the sustainability sector, Fabuti?
So, like, in the sustainability sector, I think I would say it would be closer to 1 year,
okay.
Counting my last experiences and my placement. But in the building sector, I would say it is 2.5 years almost, counting my years of architecture and the job I used to do back at home in India. Right. So, yeah.
Okay, very good. So you did an architecture degree.
Yeah.
Right. That's amazing. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, how long was it? I know here they've got it's 5 years.
Or yeah, something. It is 5 years. Back at home, it's 5 years. And after that, you get your license, and then practicing license. So I do have that, but I think it's only for India and some of... the same license can be used in some of the Mid-Eastern countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been fun. And I've been working with buildings quite a few years now. So yeah, kind of used to it.
That's class. That's what we love to hear. This is the whole point. I wanted for the podcast. I wanted to get on.
Yeah.
Experts and...
Of course, people. Everyone knows, construction is kind of the most, the biggest causes of, climate change and a lot of waste.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's time of the, need of the hour to, you know, sort it out and, work towards it.
Exactly. Well said, Fabuti, well said. And see ya. School. So here, before you go to university, we've got secondary schools, kind of the same in India.
I'm not too sure, but I think you have a year longer than us, but we do have a senior secondary schools, and you know, when you get to choose your own subjects, you get kind of more streamlined towards your, you know, fields and what you want to do in future.
Right. Okay. And see, when you were at that level, did you ever envisage yourself in the sustainable or in this particular sector?
Honestly, no, not really. I actually, I thought at that time I knew that I want to go into architecture or some civil engineering kind of subject, like that includes buildings, but I never thought like I would go into sustainability. That actually evolved later on when I actually started studying architecture.
Amazing. Like, class. Yeah, no, here, I'm the same. See, when I was in secondary school, I was applying for zoology courses. Like, so I could have been working with animals. And I realized you had to be good at biology, which I wasn't.
Yeah, nobody was good at that. So I don't like biology either.
So my fallback was engineering, of course.
Of course. But yeah, not bad. So far, so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Do you find there was any encouragement to enter? Like, was there much encouragement from the likes of your teachers to like pursue the sector you wanted? Or
So like I had one of my dissertation professors. So he kind of knew, like, you know, I got kind of interested in environmental management and sustainability kind of in my fourth year of architecture. Okay. And at that time, he kind of pushed me or like kind of encouraged me to go for master's as well. And then I thought might as well, because I kind of wanted to go for a master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not sure which subject I would be pursuing. Maybe I actually thought maybe landscape architecture, but I really wanted to go into sustainability and green buildings. So that's why I chose like my master's in sustainable development.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks for telling us about yourself. We're a bit more familiar with you, if a bit. Okay, well, I want to dive into your job a bit now.
Oh, yeah.
Can you give us a brief summary of what a sustainability assessor / engineer does? Like, what's your day-to-day like?
So usually, like this job involves a huge learning curve for me, considering I'm kind of fresh to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But conducting BREEAM assessments involves a lot of, you know, going through a lot of drawings, interacting with building engineers, chasing them for a lot of, you know, proofs and materials to be included in our assessments. And I'm kind of new to that, but I find it really informative. And, you know, interacting with these people is teaching me so much. Even going on sites, which I haven't mm-hmm. been on many, like I haven't been to many sites yet, but just the one that was really good. And I learned so much mm-hmm. From the site engineers. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And oh, yes, you recently got your CSR card, your construction skills register.
I did. As Alison said, it's kind of official, like, you know, going on site.
It's funny. I think I got mine first in 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
And then that was fine. But then there's some sort of change in regulations where you weren't a health and safety mm-hmm. worker anymore. You got changed to labor. And then then those regulations changed again. And then or they can be used in the UK. It was something like that. So now I think it's again, I'm going back to health and safety. I'm not too sure. I just remember there was that change because.
Okay. Yeah. I was actually not aware about it, but I just got my CSR labor card only
mm-hmm.
Recently. So yeah.
It's yeah. You know, you have to do your hair nice that day to get the photo.
Yeah, you do.
That's brilliant. So you talk to a lot of engineers, and when you're in the office doing your job, which you're going to dive more into, like, would you find yourself dealing with lots of different types of software?
Yeah, I do actually. Quite recently, I started working on carbon calculations,
mm-hmm.
and I got to know about OneClick LCA. Like, obviously, it's kind of a famous software, and a lot of people are using it. A lot of
mm-hmm.
engineers, BIM designers, and like everybody is using that right now. But I kind of used it only for materials, not for buildings. So I'm kind of getting head with that. It's a very friendly and like a very handy software.
Okay.
And other than that, I did get to know about this software called BCIS. It's Building Cost Information Service Software, which actually tells us about cost and the carbon of the material.
Ooh.
But just to let everyone know, the EPD database of that software is kind of limited. It's not as, as in-depth as a one-click LCA, but it is kind of handy.
And you said EPD there. Can you explain to us what that means?
So EPDs is like Environmental Product Declarations. And it's kind of, the products that we use and the materials that we use in construction, they kind of like...
It's kind of like an environmental declaration of the types of materials.
Yes, yes, it is. And, it tells us about the sourcing of the materials as well. And, the manufacturers kind of have that thing, which I recently learned about, that they get some certifications for the responsible sourcing of materials, which actually gets you the green building certifications as well if you submit that certificate for the assessments.
Perfect. Okay. Well, very informative, Fividi. So today's episode is going to be focusing on some aspects of BREEAM. Fividi, you mainly deal with BREEAM assessments and collecting information from on those assessments. We previously had Mark Clements on the podcast, giving an introduction to BREEAM and all his knowledge. Mark's a BREEAM assessor and also BREEAM AP. AP standing for Applied Professional. But yeah, going to be talking a bit more about that. So you kind of knew, before you came into this role, you kind of did know a bit about BREEAM. Isn't that right?
Yeah, so like I just knew the full form and like, that it's kind of a green building assessment that people do to get a score on their buildings and like to conduct an analysis for the green building and how, carbon neutral is that. But in depth, I got to know about in my current role, obviously like working with Mark, I'm sure his podcast would be so informative. He has been working with BREEAM for a longer time. And I know even I am learning so much working with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an AP yet, but I do help with assessments, the BREEAM assessments.
Mm-hmm. That's class. Okay, well, Fividi, thanks for explaining a bit more about BREEAM. So BREEAM is an environmental rating that can be applied to a construction or community project. It is pretty much an environmental assessment that you can score on. And what you score determines the rating of your project. So if you get over 85%, the project is outstanding. If you get over 70%, it's excellent. Over 55%, it's very good. 45%, good. And pass is 30%. And if you don't get 30%, then it's unclassified.
Yeah, you won't get the certification. Yeah.
But yeah, Mark was... like in his podcast, it went into detail about the different sections.
Yeah.
So I've got a wee question for you. Could you tell me how many sections there are in a BREEAM assessment?
I think there are 10 categories.
Yes, that is correct. So I'm just going to run down through them now. There is management, health and well-being, energy, transport, water, materials, waste, land use and ecology, pollution, and then there's another one that you can add on dependent on what your score is or what credits you target, called innovation. So 10 possible sections can be assessed in total.
I actually forgot innovation, to be honest, because innovation is kind of a tricky one. Mm-hmm. Because when you are trying to achieve some of the credits, you have to so innovation credit you get when you target for the exemplary credits.
Mm-hmm.
So you score those exemplary credits when you provide some more evidences and some extra commitment and research about, you know, the other 9 credits that you already mentioned. So, yeah.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And I kind of wanted to delve. Yeah, I said delve. And I kind of wanted to delve a bit more into Briam itself. One of the sections being that of materials. I think, like, I kind of know about, but I think you know about, because you recently passed your low carbon, your LCA analysis.
Yeah, I did. I did. I actually attended the one-click LCA bootcamp just to get an idea about how to use the software. And so basically, one-click LCA is used for the material section of Briam. And we use that to get an idea about the embodied carbon of a specific material. And yeah, it was an interesting session, and I did get a certification. I gave an exam and I got that certification.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
When are we going for pints to celebrate?
Definitely. I don't drink, but I will accompany you with a pint of glass or a pint of Coke.
Listen, you can watch me drink, okay?
For sure.
But no, that's really great to hear, because as you said previously, buildings and construction, they make up around 40% of the world's carbon emissions. And further into that, majority of it is the types of materials that the building uses. So LCAs, I've seen a prominent rise in them in the last number of years. Remember back in 2018, 2019, they weren't really around the field. And then I think as soon as maybe end of 2019, 2020 hit, everyone had to do an LCA because of new regulations and BRE advised, etc.
Yeah, and personally, I feel it is kind of a necessary step towards reducing the embodied carbon and towards like carbon neutrality in terms of the construction sector. And I think it's a good initiative that everyone, I think a lot of companies are taking, a lot of construction firms and infrastructure people are doing nowadays.
Excellent. And pretty much just to summarize what an LCA tool or assessment is, it's a summary of the materials used in the building, and you pretty much, it shows you how much carbon is emitted. And yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, that sums up pretty well.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Just one more detail about this, and then I'll move on and stop pestering about it. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Do you find that there was any useful guides to read up on? Because folks, in my head, and I'm always thinking about the future. Okay. In my head, LCAs are really big in London or the likes of England now, where they're needed. Probably not going to take long for them to come over to Northern Ireland, where there would be a requirement for them. I say not take long. It's probably going to take 5 years. That's my estimation. But it means that people in universities, at school, learn what they are now. They can go into the workforce, have a skill set, maybe decide if they want to travel down that route. In my head, there's going to be a lot of work for them.
I think you are right, but I am sure like there are so many online platforms right now that students or even working professionals can refer to at this point. And the one-click LCA website itself has so many courses, like free courses, and like so much, you know, study material for everyone.
Okay.
Moreover, I can actually recommend some of the courses on LinkedIn. There are a few readings as well, but personally, I'm not a fan of like many, you know, reports and not a reader myself. But there are kind of some references which I can share with you.
Okay. Yes. Here, when this episode that goes out, you'll get tagged. And
definitely, I can share some references, and like that can be, you know, you can post it or share it with folks.
Excellent. I'll put it in the episode thing. To be honest, I've been doing this. This will be my, I haven't decided if it's my 9th or 10th episode. We'll see. But I've been posting the links and the like, so if they've been showing up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, I don't know if anyone's looking at that.
I'm sure some people would.
I'm trying to think of the psychology of like listening to a podcast, like, you know, yeah, I read the bio. Or do I just be like, that looks like a fun title? Let's go.
That is true. But like for starters, I would say if somebody is looking to become an LCA expert, they can actually go to the One Click LCA website, and there are some really good online courses.
Okay. The one click
for beginners, like, you know, just because ultimately you'll get the knowledge by conducting those that assessments, like mm-hmm. when you use the software. So eventually you would get more efficient on that. But you know, just to start off, just to, you know, give it a push.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you for discussing the likes of LCA and Briam. Now we're going to move on to the breaking Briam round.
Oh, wow. Sounds exciting.
you'd be half correct. Okay, we'll see.
Hopefully. I am scared about it because I am kind of new to this, but every time, like, there is a first time. There is always a first time.
So I'm going to yabber off some facts here and just want your opinion on them.
Okay.
So every 1 in 14 people globally work in the construction or building industry.
Really?
Yeah.
I was not too sure actually about that. I thought it would be more like 1-6 ratio or 1-10 ratio.
Okay. Well, listen, I got these facts and figures from Sustainable Construction, facts and figures, changes.org. Okay. Yeah. It's a reliable website.
I am sure. I am 100% sure about that.
No, that's the thing. Okay, I'll check that. You know what, Fabidi, when I next have you on, I'll check that data and get back to you. Okay. So my next fact is, apparently, we need to build 13,000 buildings each day to accommodate the expected increase in population by 2050.
Really? Yeah. That is insane.
That is so insane. Like, do we even have that much land?
Exactly. I don't think we have that much land or even the resources. Mm-hmm. Or even, like, you know, as you said, planet is getting hotter, yes, warmer every day.
Yeah.
Like, how are we going to include all those? Like, from where are we going to get the energy?
It's funny because you find when I talk to maybe clients or contractors on the phone, and they're just like, you know, you go for the general flight, like, you know, and niceties at the start, and they're like, oh, how's the weather over where you are? Because usually they're usually over on England or the mainland, yeah, or Scotland. They're like, it's actually quite sunny over here. It's like, you know, it's quite a nice temperature. Mm-hmm. What about you? It's like, yeah, we've got a quite nice temperature. It's around, like, you know, 7-8 degrees. Like,
yeah.
What's wrong with you?
That is so true.
Got another interesting fact for you. The Burj Khalifa, it required the equivalent of a small US city population to construct.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
That is...
I did not know that.
You can tell this is an American fact because it says small US population. Did you know that this is kind of going back to one of the Briam topics we talked about?
Yeah.
Not the Briam topics, the Briam assessments we talked about.
Yeah.
The likes of pollution. Yeah, pollution. So did you know yearly, the UK's environmental agency has to respond to around 350 serious pollution-related incidents caused by construction.
Oh my God, that is too many.
That is a lot. And it's like, you know, serious pollution-related incidents. So the likes of having Briam on a construction project, where the pollution is being assessed and monitored, is really important.
It is actually, because if everyone would incorporate that, it would significantly reduce the complaints and, like, the accidents that happen and, like, you know, that cause pollution so much.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to move on to ask you some hard questions now.
All right.
These are really hard.
Don't make me nervous.
These are really hard, Fabidi, and you should have really studied for them, okay?
Oh, my God. I did not. But, yeah. I'm ready for it.
Okay.
Who
owns Briam?
So the BRE Trust owns the Briam. BRE would be Building Research Establishment. No, if somebody doesn't know about that, and that's it. I know that.
Okay, that's actually very good. Okay, the BRE. Do you know when they were founded?
I think it was early 2000s, but I'm not too sure about the year.
Okay, you're a bit off. You're a bit off. Okay, it was 1921. Okay.
Oh my goodness! Really? I'm just a bit off.
But the BRE is a really big body. Got some notes on them here. I'm just going to pull them up.
Yeah.
But I know what you're talking about. Briam offices, which is kind of the first kind of Briam assessment. Briam four offices. It was launched as an environmental assessment in around 1990 or 1991.
Oh, so like the 90s. Okay.
Yeah. That's when the first kind of Briam assessment. But the likes of BRE, they've been around since 1921. And it was originally started as part of the British Civil Service to improve quality of housing in the United Kingdom.
Oh, wow. So I was a little off.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, just a little. Listen, you can take that fact. You can keep it. Okay.
Definitely. I will remember it now.
Yeah. Speaking of buildings. Okay. In my head, I'm trying to think of, I've got a pun. Mm. I'm just trying to think of the acceptable delivery for it. But a lot of buildings, like one of the places I want to go is Egypt. And did you hear about the pyramids?
Yeah, they built, I have.
Out of chocolate and nuts. It's called,
when did that happen?
It's called Ferrero Rocher.
That is a good one. It is a good one.
The mechanical engineer who told me this, okay, shout out to Ryan, okay? thanks for giving that to me before this.
Definitely.
I wanted to squeeze that in because, listen, I love puns. I absolutely love puns.
We love it too.
And I love seeing other people's reactions to puns. And
oh, yeah.
It's whether I know, I can tell that one or I can't.
No, that was a good one. That was definitely a good one.
Thank you for your validation. I do appreciate it.
I'm sure everyone is going to enjoy that.
Okay. I'm going to ask you another hard question. Okay.
Bring it on.
Get ready. To the nearest 100,000, do you know how many buildings have been BRIAM certified?
I would say maybe around 400,000. And just a random guess.
You know what? You're really close. You're really close.
Really?
It's 5,500. Hold on. 550,000.
550,000. Oh, so not that bad.
No. Bad. Only a couple. Only 150,000.
Yeah. In my defense, I can say that I read that fact a few months ago, so it could be an old one.
You know what? That's I like that. You're covering all bases, okay? That's it. Okay. I'm gonna ask you another question, and yes, then that's us tidied up, okay? We'll wrap up. Okay.
All right.
Do you know how many buildings or how many assessments have been registered with BRIAM?
I cannot even make a random guess of that, to be honest, because I'm sure it's going to be too many.
Okay. Well, I got this from the BRE website. Okay. So apparently over 2 million are registered for certification in more than 50 countries.
Oh my God. See, I couldn't have guessed that. I couldn't have.
Listen, it's
But that's a good thing, I would say. It's we're working our way towards net zero.
Exactly. And just to point out, if it's BRIAM registered, doesn't necessarily mean it's a new building. There's also different types of BRIAM. Can you name them for me?
It could be a new building, it mm-hmm. could be a retrofitted building,
mm-hmm.
and it could be a refurb. So the retrofitting and refurb would be the same project, I think.
Yeah.
And there would be a building that is demolished or is about to be demolished.
But yeah, there's a BRIAM in use assessment and also BREEAM communities assessment. So, yeah, the more you know. We've talked a lot about BREEAM today, a lot about LCA.
A lot about LCAs and BREEAM stuff, I'm sure. And it was really, really informative for myself as well with all your interesting facts and funny puns.
Thank you very much. Wait, you can come back. Okay, you can.
I am up for the next episode. Stay tuned, guys.
Excellent. Well, just before we wrap up, can you tell me what you enjoy most about your work?
So, like, I'm obviously really enjoying working with my, like, brilliant colleagues and learning so much from everyone. And so much about green building certifications and BREEAM. But yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, making change with all the knowledge I have. And I'm sure like every baby step counts. So yeah, I'm just trying to get, you know, do my bit towards environment and the climate that I can.
We should get you, you should be a poster child for like, you know, BPP. Like, you know, it's like you just give speeches on like, oh, this is the great change.
that is very, very scary for me because I'm kind of scared about like speeches and being around too many people. But I'll definitely give it a go.
Here, don't even. I was at a conference on Friday and I thought there's about 400 people there.
Oh my God.
And they were going for questions. And I thought, I'll ask a question. That'll be fine. And I was kind of like interested, like, or like I really wanted to ask like one of the panel members a question because he said something which I'll come back to you after, but he like as soon as the microphone came to me and then like, okay, you can ask a question. So I stood up and I thought, yeah, this is gonna be fine, like I do this, like, you know, on the side, like, you know, I'm used to speaking. See, as soon as everyone turned around and looked at me, my voice was the shakiest it had ever been.
I know. I've been there. And it's like, you were obviously around 400 people. I was in a class of 40 students. And still my voice is shaking. So I've been there. Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. But another thing I just wanted to say about why embodied carbon is important. Like, yes, you know, looking at materials is important. One of the panel members, they had like mentioned that their company, it was like, oh yeah, we're going green, like it's really green because it was using an alternative fuel. So instead of petrol, it was using, I won't say, but like it wasn't using as much petrol as its competitors.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, that's grand, you're reducing carbon that way. Mm-hmm. However, the alternative to not using petrol, in my mind, was more materials in their process.
Kind of like a vicious cycle, I mm-hmm. must say. Because even though like we do have a few really good materials, like good fuels coming up that are kind of sustainable and have low carbon impact. But I'm sure you must have heard about HVO, HVO, hydro vegetable oil, that has been used on sites by a lot of companies. I think that's kind of an alternative for diesel and petrol for mm-hmm. the equipments on site.
Okay.
I got to know about this kind of recently and I wasn't aware about it before, but that is also not 100% sustainable, but it's still, you know, better than the other alternatives.
Okay. But yeah, that was my point. If you're using like more materials than like in the likes of embodied carbon, are you really
saving something? Yeah, yeah. Are you really reducing carbon? That is actually like, you know, sad.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we end the podcast.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
Yes. Well, Fibidi, thank you for coming on. You've been absolutely great. And I'll be sure to have you back on.
Anytime. I would love to be back. Yeah, because nobody can see me here and I can speak.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, Carbon Climates. If you make sure you follow us on our Instagram @carbon_climates to keep up to date with all our latest news and episode releases. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.